when they slew the two witnesses. They were very angry with God at all the plagues. Chapter 16, when it recaps the plagues, it says they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Because you gotta remember, they said of Christ, he casts out devils by the devil. And they will say this also of the witnesses, that they do things by the power of Satan. And so they'd been calling God Satan, and calling Satan God. And they were wroth with our God. And now our God is wroth with them. So it's an interesting thing. The time of the dead, this is a little bit awkward in my mind, because I know that in the 20th chapter it says, you know, the first resurrection, they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. And then there's another resurrection at the end of the 1,000 years where the dead are delivered up. So to some degree, the time of the dead may encompass the entire period from the seventh trumpet all the way to the end of the 1,000 years. I mean, this is the beginning of the judging of the dead. But I do believe that there will be people still alive in the earth. Not everyone's going to be slain. There's going to be a separation between sheep and goats. And there will be survivors. There will be people who are not immediately killed on the return of Christ. And the earth is going to be repopulated, but it will be reigned over by... I mean, who? When it says you're going to reign with Christ, who are we going to reign over? Just nothing? Over this world. And the world's going to have to be fixed. So to speak, cleaned up. So I said there's a lot of work to do. And so while the dead in Christ will rise first, as it says, the dead in Christ are going to rise. But it also seems to indicate, I mean, when Christ talked about the resurrection, and God help me understand, but he says, you know, and there comes a day when all the dead will hear his voice. All that are in their graves will hear the voice of the Son of Man and come forth. Some to the resurrection of life and some to the resurrection of damnation. Okay, but he makes it seem like it's all one moment. Whereas in the book of Revelation, it seems to be some sort of split. And I've come to sort of believe that the dead in Christ will rise at the beginning of the millennium, and the rest of, as it says, the rest of the dead, but the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years are finished. I mean, it's pretty clear. So what Christ was saying is that there's a resurrection of damnation and a resurrection of life. And that they are not necessarily all at the same time. Just as when Christ came, he did not finish all the works that it was said that Messiah would do. He did not bring about the promised kingdom to the fullness of what the prophets had promised. And so the resurrection is going to have a delay for those who are not part of the first resurrection. But there will be a judgment. He's going to divide the nations. You know, as it says, on the right hand he will set the sheep and on the left the goats. And on one he says, you enter into the kingdom. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And they said, when did you do this? When did we do this to you? He says, whenever you did this to the least of my servants. And I believe these may be people who God, you know, who maybe initially were not prepared for the tribulation. But when it comes, and the servants of God are being persecuted and hunted, and these people, rather than trying to harm them or do them in, give heed to the message. Because I think that while all the world's going to go after the beast, there's going to be a remnant. The remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. There is a remnant beyond just the hardcore Church of God. There's going to be others. But when you look at that statement he made about the sheep and the goats, well, if you think about it, the sheep, you know, when I was young, I think I thought that was just all the saved people on the right and all the unsaved people on the left. But the people on the right, if they're just the saved people, then who were the servants who they were being kind to? I mean, just each other? I mean, that could be. But I think it has a deeper meaning that the elect in the end times, and everyone who is saved is elect, okay? But those who have been prepared aforetime, you know, versus those who God is gracious to and gives them eyes to see at that time. I mean, we do not preach a message for no one to hear. You know, I've been teaching for 20 years. And while I can't say it's been like gladly received by hundreds and thousands, but there have always been people who hear. I've always met people who hear, who hear the call to true righteousness, to true holiness, they hear that call and they yearn after it. Until everyone's heard that message, because I grew up, I never really heard the fullness of the gospel until I was about 31. That's all, and I was looking for more from the Bible. You know, I wanted to find out more, what was in there, what was all this about. And I was reading it and studying it, and my eyes were closed to it until someone just told me. And I was at that moment when he had just prepared my heart to hear it. There are those who will come in all the way up to the end. God can be merciful like that. I wouldn't, knowing what I know, would I want to sort of become like the servant who said, well, my Lord delays his coming, and begin to eat and drink with the drunken? No. But someone may be eating with and drinking with the drunken now, and that just God just has not planned for them to hear it now, but they will hear it later. And that's how it can be. In verse 19, it said, the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. I don't know if this means that's where the ark went, like the ark was taken away by God, because it disappeared after the Babylonians, when they burned the temple. It doesn't say what happened to the ark. They talk about searching for the ark, and the thing is, the ark just may be gone. It may have been hidden away, and then it's not there anymore. Because God took it. Enoch was not, for the Lord took him. And so also, the ark. God has it, apparently. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. This lightning, voices, thunderings, and earthquake and great hail. Remember, that was repeated before the trumpets, except there was no great hail. The first trumpet had hail. It was an interesting repetition. Lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake at the end of the seals. And then also when you get to the seventh vial, it'll be lightnings and thunderings and voices and an earthquake. Now we're moving into chapter 12, and I think what you have to understand is Revelation is not like the sequential sort of book. It is a series of visions, and it is somewhat sequential, but we are really going to go back and take a different perspective. We've been having this vision of John, where he was caught up in heaven, and he saw the throne from chapters 4 and 5, and then he went and saw the seals open, and now the trumpets. And now he's going to have a radical shift in vision to this woman. And what we're going to be doing is going to be like pulling back and looking at the story from a different perspective. So, I guess I'll save that for when we begin chapter 12.